get notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
All right, there you've heard it. The Regents and the board don't necessarily agree with what we're saying, but that is okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Get Notified here with Ryan Fullen, your ginger MC. And we have a very special guest, and then another special guest, and one more special guest, because my favorite number is 3. Okay, so we're going to have our caller call in. Sometimes I like to hang up on our callers right out the gates just to keep it fresh, let them know that it is live. And today we are talking about how to use social media for a pre-launch of a product that you have. And I have one of my 3 special guests here, who is Shay. Shay is an intern who's going to be a DJ coming up here soon. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. What do you have to say for yourself? Is it DJ Shay?
I don't know. I've never had a DJ name.
You've never had a DJ name. Okay, well, we'll try to figure out a DJ name here by the end of the day. Maybe DJ Shay?
Maybe.
It has a nice ring to it. Now, are you going to do a PA show or are you going to do an actual music show?
I'm actually applying for both.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, okay. I used to be a DJ at KCSB-FM, so...
Nice.
It's been a while.
Well, excellent. Well, I think that we've got one of our callers on here. Do we have either Jennifer or Dustin on the line?
Yes, this is Jennifer. How are you?
Jennifer. So, just in honor of talking about pre-launching, you know, I've hung up on you a few times... in honor of that, because, you know, maybe symbolically it represents sometimes you just have to cut things short to keep it exciting for people. But welcome to the show. You're here on Get Notified. And I love your accent. I would like to hear your name in the full accent aura.
Sure. My name is Jennifer Eden. And I'm the co-founder of Tampon Tribe.
Awesome. Now, we are going to talk today about how you are utilizing social media for a pre-launch. Because oftentimes people think, well, I've got to be already in action, my product's got to be ready, I've got to be out there into the world. But you're doing something special for the world, special for all the ladies out there, and you're letting them know before you launch, correct?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we'd like to have, with all businesses that I have worked with in the past as well, we'd like to make sure that we have a really strong social media presence, you know, a month or so leading up to the launch. It's really, really important that people know what's happening. And it's kind of exciting to build that as well.
Awesome. So let's hear a little bit more about you. Where did this accent come from, and how are we blessed to have you here locally? I'm assuming locally as in L.A.
Right. I'm based in Santa Monica. Our company is a California incorporated company. And I'm from Australia originally. So it's great to be here. Not too different. I came via China, so I was in Beijing for 8 years before heading over to the U.S.
Wow, Beijing for 8 years. How did that work out?
Yeah, it was fabulous. It was a really, really great experience. I mean, not just in a personal way. I mean, of course, in business, it's like a rapid-fire MBA on the ground. I don't think you can learn faster or learn to be more agile in business than working in Beijing, which changes so, so fast.
What brought you here to Santa Monica then?
I came originally here with a company I was working with. We used to have, and we still do have, restaurants and businesses in Beijing. And we came over here to LA to open businesses here. And when that didn't go as planned, decided to stay and started looking around for perhaps what's needed in the market and something that we could be really passionate about. And the idea of Tampon Tribe came up, and we were subscription service for 100% organic cotton tampons that have no toxins or chemicals, and we also have no plastics. And that's a really important environmental aspect of our business. We give back, and we have a charity aspect and employ retrained workers. So we wanted to build a company that basically was completely transparent when it comes to really making a difference in the world. So we're excited to launch that in 2 weeks.
So 2 weeks until the big launch. Wow. So how did you come up with this idea? Is this something that you had or that you just...
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. I always, from a couple of points of view, this came up from a very personal point of view, looking for organic products and really recognizing that the market is very, very bare when it comes to organic feminine hygiene, and the products that are on the market are often very, very expensive. And I didn't think that was very fair. I think everyone should have access, to organic products. So I started looking around and doing some research, and the idea basically came to being pretty much a year ago, in October last year, and then just started working toward what could do, what could happen and how feasible it would be, and could we do it financially and still make sure that we keep prices low without compromising, any integrity of the business. And yeah, you can. So we put everything together and did some market testing, and it came back really positive. And we'll be up on an Indiegogo campaign, actually, in 2 weeks.
Well, since the show's all about social media, let's do some shameless plugging real quick. Hashtag shameless plugs. So we are here at KUCI, and if you are not connected with KUCI, I suggest you do so. On Twitter, it's at KUCIFM. On Instagram, it's at KUCIFM. We've even got a Tumblr and then a Facebook, KUCI889. You can find me, DJ Ginger MC, at Ryan Folland on Twitter, and somebody stole that handle from my Instagram, so I'm Ryan.Folland on Instagram. And we've got DJ Shay here. Say hi to DJ Shay, Jennifer.
Hi, DJ Shay. How are you?
Good. How are you?
See, she's very she's very confident. I think this is great. So we just came up with her DJ name during the time that I had hung up with you. And what about your shameless plug, DJ Shay?
I have a science website going up called Unpacking Science.
Okay. I like that. Unpackingscience.com. And then, Jennifer, how do we find you? How do we get on this pre-launch party?
Sure, we are basically Tampon Tribe everywhere. So at Tampon Tribe, hashtag Tampon Tribe, everywhere we're Tampon Tribe, tampontribe.com. So
that makes it easy.
It does make it easy. So that's us.
And I assume there aren't too many Tampon Tribes out there, so you were able to get that going on for you. Hey, so so we've got Dustin that's calling in. I'm gonna try to patch him through without hanging up. If I do hang up, then I'm gonna talk with DJ Shay and just call back. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. We're gonna patch him in. It's ringing, and we're gonna bring him up to the top. Shoot, I dropped her. Dustin, are you there?
Yeah.
Well, hey, we got Dustin and we dropped Jennifer. For some reason, the phone lines are being a little funky this morning, but it's okay. So, Dustin, who are you and why are you on this call?
What's going on, Ryan? I am Dustin, and I work at Expert Dojo, an academy for entrepreneurs based out of Santa Monica.
An Expert Dojo, is that a karate studio?
Pretty much. We're we're fighting the failure rate, though, instead of training in the martial arts. That if everybody on the show didn't know, Ryan is actually a black belt in.
I'm a black belt in real karate, but I'm also a black belt in mental karate, and I love helping startups learn how to fight the system a little bit so they can survive. Now, you are working with Jennifer, is that correct?
Yeah, Jennifer is a coaching client of ours.
And Jennifer,
I don't know really where her conversation left off with, but we are getting ready to launch her Indiegogo campaign on the 14th.
Nice. So Jennifer, I did hang up on you, but I brought you back. Are you there?
Yes, you did.
This is so amazing. So amazing. It's like third time is a charm. And again, I just do this to prove to people that we're on live radio. It's a little sneaky thing that I do, and it keeps my guests on their toes, because a little bit of anxiety is good for the radio. Now, on the show, we have something called GTO, and it means Grandma Time Out. So Dustin just talked about this Indiegogo thing. But Jennifer, if I were to say GTO, Indiegogo, it rhymes, don't you know? But how would you explain that to your grandma? What is Indiegogo?
How would I explain it to my grandma?
Yeah.
Well, Indiegogo is basically a platform that enables people to get on board and help you, start your business by, I guess, purchasing and supporting the company with pre-orders. So you can jump online and for us, you can pre-order 3, 6, 12 months worth of tampons.
Okay, so...
And you get a whole lot of cool stuff with that. Like, you get... You're kind of really well rewarded, and you get what's called perks. So say you put in, I don't know, $20, then you get to choose from perks worth $20. So you can get some swag, and you get bonuses, and normally the products are cheaper than they will be when your actual platform goes live. Or you can also just get on and give someone money, which is really cool as well. Like, if you think, hey, this is a really worthy cause, I'm just going to give them $100 or $1,000. And it's also great.
Now, DJ Shay, do you know about Indiegogo?
Yeah.
Have you ever participated in an Indiegogo campaign?
I'm sure, yeah, for a band or something.
For like a band that. Or something, okay. Yeah. So Indiegogo, for all of you who don't know Go, is a platform that helps you to gather support. People can give you money, they can receive perks in return. They don't get any equity in your company, but it's a way to sort of crowdfund or crowdsource dollars. If you're trying to raise $100,000, it's maybe a different route to go get $100,000 from one person or to get 100,000 people to give you a dollar. Now, Dustin, you guys there at Expert Dojo, you've had a number of successful campaigns. Mm-hmm. Why don't we spend a couple of minutes talking about what you guys do to prepare for a successful campaign? And really the theme of this show, I'm finding, is going to be about the pre-launch, because a lot of people mistakenly go into crowdfunding campaigns thinking that they can just start and then launch and then be successful. And there's a lot of metrics and a lot of proof out there that shows that is not the best way to do it. I've heard a number of things that if you don't get 50% funded in the first 36 hours, your chances of failure increase significantly. And when I say failure, you don't reach that funding goal. Jennifer, how much are you trying to raise?
We want to raise everything. No, we're hoping in our Indiegogo campaign.
$1 million.
$1 million. Yeah, the end. That's it. That's all.
Okay. I was just watching this weekend Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, and after Dr. Evil was cryogenically frozen for 30 years and he comes out and didn't account for inflation, so, you know, the $1 million turned into $10 billion.
I'll take that.
Would be nice.
Yeah, how big is...
$10 billion.
Jennifer, how big is the tampon market?
It's huge, actually. In the U.S. alone, the feminine hygiene market is a $16 billion market annually.
Nice. So if we went for $20 billion, we could take it over.
That'd be great. Let's do that. I'm on board.
Can we make evil tampons?
We can. You could curate your own line.
Yeah. So you're not selling customized tampons, though. You're selling organic tampons.
Yes, correct. But, you know, we can maybe do a special pack.
Okay.
You could design the outside or something. It'd be pretty cool.
Okay. I love it. And that's what's kind of fun about these types of starting your own business. You can pretty much do whatever you want.
Right.
You can have...
And that's the fun bit. I mean, I think that's what, you know, for me is the great part about it. Of course, you have to put in a lot of hours. You know, all entrepreneurs work 18 hours a day, I think. And you kind of work in your sleep. You don't stop, you know, so you go to sleep and then you have all these ideas while you're asleep. So I think it's just like a 24-hour job. But it's kind of cool, and you get to do all these great things and change the world and, yeah, make tampons with evil connotations and this kind of thing. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, as long as you say it with a Dr. Evil accent, it takes
the... But I can't do that, so I'll rely on you.
You could be one of the evil henchmen or henchwomen, right, around the table.
Can I keep my own accent, though?
I think that's good.
Okay, good.
Now, for those of you who are just joining us, we have Jennifer on the phone here talking about how she is starting a tampon revolution. And her company is Tampon Tribe. It's in a pre-launch, and it's a subscription model for tampons that are all organic, no plastic. And there's a lot of medical implications out there right now, and that's part of the reason why you're doing this, is correct? It's not just to have...
Right.
It's not like you're choosing organic bananas versus whatever bananas. It's that there's actual health risks associated with it. Is that correct?
That is really correct, actually. And I think, as you mentioned, this is just two sides. Like, we have a lot of fun and there's a really, you know, great energetic side about it. But then there's the quite serious aspect about it as well. And women don't actually realize what chemicals and toxins and what fiber goes into their feminine hygiene products. So we kind of all assume that the pharmaceutical companies do well by us, which is a bit weird, but we do, and they don't. You know, a lot of tampons have rayons, they're synthetics, they have dyes, they have toxins, they use chlorine bleach, which has dioxin in them. All have been linked to cancer and toxic shock syndrome, and it's just not okay. And you find, you know, a lot of women were putting, organic products in our skin, and we wear organic clothes, and we eat organic food, and then we're putting a highly toxic sanitary product in or on our body. So it has pretty dire consequences. And as I'm talking to people, you know, in the community, I'm hearing more and more stories about this, and we'll put that on our blog, part of our website, pretty shortly, because there are quite a few people who have been really, really terribly affected by toxic shock syndrome from tampons. So, there is that side. And that's why our whole mission is about bringing access to organic products to everyone at an affordable price. Because we really think that all women should be able to choose to have this toxic versus non-toxic product for themselves.
Now, that's amazing, because I like to say that I don't care what you do, whether you're male mm-hmm. or female or any type of business, I only care about the problems that you solve. And I really care about those problems if I have the problems or people who I love have those problems. And mm-hmm. I'm curious to pick your brain for a minute. You know, the topic of tampons maybe is a little bit dicey sometimes, because guys maybe aren't as comfortable with it, and girls, it's a part of their life. And when you're approaching something like this, what are some of the challenges that you've had in a messaging component? Because you have, on one end, we've got to keep it sort of fun and cheery. The other end is this doom and gloom. And then you also have this, like, maybe, I would assume, kind of awkwardness where, you know, of course, Dustin and I are not awkward about anything because we're awesome and we don't care. We'll talk about it all. But I would tend to think that it's kind of a touchy subject for some people, just maybe out of ignorance. And from a messaging standpoint online, how are you dealing with that? Because there are maybe other businesses or other departments or other people that have a topic or a service that maybe isn't always talked about. We're here at the university, so I'm going to make a terrible analogy, but like, think of the writing center, right? It's kind of not everybody wants to go in and admit that maybe they need help with writing, or maybe they just don't know, or maybe they don't want to talk about it, or even the library, right? I mean, you have these very bad analogies, but I still think they're good, because when it comes to messaging, how do you bring a topic out there that's maybe not super fun at first to think about talking about, or makes people awkward? How are you messaging that online?
Well, actually, the funny thing is, more people are open to talk about it than you think. So I think, you know, I've been basically talking about it in the public arena, so to speak, since May, so just the last few months. And I think I've had two people question me, like, ooh, that's a bit of a, you know, a piece of a subject. And my biggest surprise is how many men are really open to talking about it, particularly guys who are fathers. Because as soon as they learn about products and they have daughters, they completely sign my daughter up and my wife. But, you know, so most men are really receptive. They think it's pretty standard. You know, they're not worried about talking about it so much. And these days, with young women particularly, it's changing. You know, the whole idea with Tampon Tribe is that we're making it not a taboo subject. And the tampon tax is being talked about all over the country as well. So it's more mainstream once you start talking to people than you realize. You know, we set up, say, for example, at a health and wellness festival just last weekend, and people come and talk to you the entire day. They're really receptive, and they're really happy that we're not, you know, sugarcoating everything. That it's a tampon. It happens to, you know, women all around the world have one thing in common. We all get our period. That's it. You know, it kind of unites us. So it has that very empowering aspect as well. So in terms of messaging, though, for us, Tampon Tribe is a little bit more than just selling a product. So we look at the whole tribe aspect. People want to get on board and get involved and be part of something cool that can make a difference. So a big part of our messaging is also about the environment and about health and about convenience. So we have kind of a whole lot of channels we go through for our marketing, and it does depend on, like you say, which social media you're looking at as to which approach we take.
Well, I love it. And I think the takeaway here is that if you think, you know, I kind of maybe thought it was more taboo than it really is. And I think that from from a standpoint of a learning lesson, you can't assume things are taboo. You've got to get out there and talk to people. And that's exactly what you've done.
Yeah, correct. And I was really surprised. And I think, like I said, I think I've been very happily surprised by all the men who have come and spoken to me after I've been in an event. You know, they are really... I mean, there's a couple of reasons why. Like I say, you get the dads and the boyfriends and the brothers who are really concerned as soon as they hear the word toxic, you know, and then they're like, this is not even a question. I can't believe that this happened, you know, is even an issue. And then you get the dads and the brothers and the sons who are the ones that get called or messaged on their cell phones to go to the CVS and buy tampons, and they're standing there and they don't want that to do that anymore part of their life.
Yo, that's interesting. So for all of you guys out there who have ever had to make a tampon run, you should join the tampon tribe because it'll never be an issue because it's delivered to your door, right?
Yeah, right. And so you'll never have to. And the funny thing is, I don't know why, but for women the world over, even though we've had our period since we were like a young teenager, we always run out of tampons. Everyone always runs out of tampons, which is insane because it happens every month. It's not like it's a surprise. But for some reason, we always run out. And, you know, I have been doing that for the last 20 years. So a lot of people, especially the guys, you know, they can't quite fathom the fact that women would run out of tampons, but why don't you just buy it? So the convenience factor is fabulous for them. They absolutely love it.
Yeah, well, I will tell you that men do run out of razor heads, and that happens. We get arrogant, and we think that there's a little bit of the blue line left, and then all of a sudden it's white, and then you do one little scrape down your face, and you get more bumps, and especially like with a ginger, I wish the bumps would have turned into freckles, but they just like look like irritants. And then there's the Dollar Shave Club, and then that solved that problem. So you're really creating a community around a set of problems. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, I mean, even just to follow the guys, you know, line a little bit further, we also, you know, think that guys, particularly if they're in an office full of women, which happens a lot here in LA particular when you're working with marketing, big marketing and fashion groups and what have you, it wouldn't hurt for them to subscribe and have a pack of tampons at their desk. They'll be the most popular man in the building because people yell out, who's got a tampon all the time. So if they can be the go-to man, they're going to be very, very popular. So we can think it can be an in into social circles as well.
So Dustin, are you going to break the norm here, or are you going to be part of the tampon tribe so that you are the go-to tampon person when it comes to the Expert Dojo?
Yeah, you know, as soon as Jennifer came into Expert Dojo and said she's got a tribe of women, I was kind of immediately interested.
Hey, there you go.
I think there's a percentage of the market share where there's just going to be guys that think, you know, wow, just a bunch of really cool women doing, you know, runs and being a part of this big community. They'll just kind of be behind it as well.
I love it. So this has been a lot of fun, and I want to get to some bullet points of how you use a pre-launch strategy when it comes to an Indiegogo. And you already have your sites that are up. So what are maybe some of the first things that people need to understand when they're considering an Indiegogo project? And both you and Dustin, Jennifer and Dustin, feel free to chirp in. So what are maybe some of the main things, maybe the top three things you need to consider before jumping onto a crowdfunding platform?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to realize it's always to be way more work than you think.
Say that one more time for everyone. So everyone out there, listen up. If you have an idea, you're going to go on a crowdfunding campaign, Dustin has something very important to tell you.
Prepared to work. It's a lot of time. You know, you got to, these perks, and especially like in every different campaign that we've had, you have different perks and you're, you know, attracting different people. The last one we did was with this veggie dome. So, you know, vegans and vegetarians, it was a dish that you put outside of the refrigerator for vegetables. And you're just tracking a whole new avatar there. So, you know, looking at influencers, looking at people who would actually buy the product is a completely different creative side than looking at and targeting women who are buying tampons. You need to spend some time and really think about who you're attracting, where they are, how to get them, set perks up around them. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the 2 or 3 months that you took to prepare it just goes by very quickly. I think Jennifer can agree with that.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, there's a lot to do, and you know, there are so many ways that you can move in so many different trajectories that you can take. So it's important to have a bit of a game plan, I think, when you approach it. And you have to have that padded time as well. It just enables you to, you know, try a few different things and also be flexible and, like I say, agile enough to be able to head in a different direction or to take on different advice or to check yourself. Whereas if you don't leave that time and you go straight into something perhaps that doesn't work, then it could be a failure of a campaign.
Yeah.
All right. Now, how did you choose between Indiegogo and Kickstarter? Was that a major point of your decision? Because I hear that question a lot.
Yeah, it was. For me, and I've actually got to look at it again, but when I was first looking at both platforms, and this was a year ago, or even 6 months ago, Indiegogo allowed two options. One, that you had to raise the whole amount, and the other option was that you could raise less than your goal and still take the funds. And to my understanding, Kickstarter wasn't offering it at that time. The Kickstarter was an all or nothing. Now, that may have changed, so you might want to double check that.
Okay.
And the other thing that also interested me, just to be honest, is that Indiegogo had a great program for women founders and women entrepreneurs. So that enabled me to reach out to a team at Indiegogo directly. And they had some great input when I started doing the draft of my campaign. And then they're going to also look over it before we go live as well, which for me is a big asset to the campaign to have that insider knowledge. And they really were trying to get more women on the platform when I approached them.
That's interesting. So they're there to support, to try to get more women specifically. What were some of the perks or the advantages that they had?
Just the advice in terms of how to structure the campaign and also to give that review a couple of weeks out from the campaign. So we're about this week to put all of our finishing touches on our perks and on our design, and then I'll be able to send that to them. They'll do a full review to and give advice and help with the design and this kind of thing, and that's pretty invaluable.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. So a question for you. Do you believe that crowdfunding platforms, such as Indiegogo, would you consider that a social media platform? Yeah, what do you think, Dustin? You've dealt with a lot of these. Would you consider it a social media platform?
Yeah, in some aspects. I mean, you can communicate. You can send the people a message. And I think that's like the bare minimum to any social media. It's just being able to communicate on a platform. And whether you're communicating about friends and family or your product line, this is a more business and aspect of the social media.
All right, so you're kind of on a maybe there, but maybe yes. Jennifer, what do you think? Are crowdfunding platforms social media platforms?
I mean, you know what I'm doing? I'm cheating. I'm going to look up social media definition. Will you tell me what it is, Ryan? What's the definition of social media?
Well, I think it's constantly changing, right? I think it is a media or technology platform that people are communicating on and that they're sharing and that they're... Let's get DJ Shea's opinion. DJ Shea, do you think that a crowdfunding platform is a social media platform?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. She has conviction. Okay, DJ Shea, why?
Well, first of all, they're mostly shared on social media. That's how you contact people to donate to them.
So because it has a very brotherly, sisterly relationship with other platforms, it's kind of like a social media of social media?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, yeah.
I dig it. How is the research there going with Google? And by the way, if you do not know an answer to something, you can Google.
Right.
now here's
social media. GTO? Is that a grandma timeout moment?
A GTO. GTO.
What's Google?
GTO. DJ Shea, what is Google for grandma?
The most popular search engine on the internet.
And is Google a social media?
No.
Yes, it is, because it's Google+. Google+.
Okay,
that was a trick question. Trick question. Okay, Jennifer, enlighten us with what... Google has to say about social media.
Well, unfortunately, this might go against Shay's strong convictions.
That's okay. Social media, we can argue against it. Let's go. Let's get in a fight with Google right now.
Social media is a noun, and the definition is websites and applications that enable users to create and share content or to participate in social networking. Now, by definition, the platforms itself oh, we can work with the word enable here, but the platforms themselves don't enable users to create or share content. Hmm. They create the content to be shared and participated in.
But this is good. I'm ready to fight with Google, and I'm ready to fight with you, Jennifer, because I think DJ Shea...
Well, I'm just a messenger.
No, I know, but hey, I'm going to shoot the messenger too, okay? You just pull a matrix. Go back and read the first part of the definition, and then let's evaluate it, because I think that's exactly what these crowdfunding platforms are. So read the first chunk.
Yeah, you're right, because if we read the first bit out of context, you're completely right.
Well, wait. We're not out of context here. It's an either or, right? This is good. I like it. The messenger is fighting back. Okay.
Here we go. Websites and applications that enable users. So here's your crux word, enable.
Okay.
Enable users to create and share content.
Okay, stop.
So yes, stop. Do if you take that bit.
Yes, it does. And we're going to look at the full thing here, okay? We're not just going either or. We're going to go with an and on this definition. So crowdfunding platforms are websites. They are also applications. And mm-hmm. they do enable people to share content, because I'm assuming you have a video and you're sharing updates mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. stuff like that, okay?
Yeah.
So would we all agree that the first part of the definition is true to what DJ Shea says?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, okay, is that your final answer? Because we can't move forward unless we're solid. Either yes or no.
I think so is my final answer.
Okay, Dustin?
I think so.
Okay, DJ Shea, you're halfway right. Okay, let's go to the second part of the definition now.
Or to participate in social networking.
Okay.
Now, the content does enable that participation, so yes.
Yes, I think we have it. Now, type this into Google real quick. Type in, are crowdfunding sites, or maybe is Indiegogo a social media? Or is Indiegogo social media? Because we might just be...
That might have been an easier way to do it.
No, the easy way is not always the best way. Because, Dustin, it's only hard if you make it hard. Okay, buddy? Like, let's... Google...
Hold on.
Whoa. This is exciting. Who would have thought Googling would be so exciting? Now, just to be fair, it's only fair in Google Fights. And hashtag Google Fights, by the way, if anybody's out there... We are officially having the first ever Google fight, and I think that this is going to be an integral part of the show moving forward, is that we're going to challenge human intuition against Google, and then we'll have a fight about it. Hashtag...
So here's the thing. Here's the thing that is going to derail us.
Hold on, Dustin. Let's let the lady speak. Ladies first.
Okay, so here's the thing that might derail us.
Nope.
Within the support section of Indiegogo, it itemizes... social media as one of the best ways to engage with your network, thereby debunking the theory that Indiegogo itself is social media.
Is it explicitly saying Indiegogo is not a social media on the site?
No, it does not.
Okay, so we're not debunked yet.
It does say many of you are already using social media sites like Twitter, Facebook, Flickr, LinkedIn, and YouTube. It doesn't say using social media sites such as ourselves and Twitter, Facebook.
Well, that's just because they don't want to like toot their own horn. They don't want to get all crazy, like letting everybody know this is something that we're figuring out. It's almost like the pre-launch, right? So Indiegogo is hiding the fact publicly that they are a social media because they're going to come out with this in a big launch, and they will probably make their own Indiegogo campaign to fund themselves as legitimately being wikied as a social media platform.
Can we do a little hashtag here that we are not paid by Indiegogo?
Hashtag yes.
Yes, good.
And Indiegogo is just getting some love because they were supporting women entrepreneurs, and we will support them.
Yes.
Now, Kickstarter could probably have the power to shut this radio down. They could probably push a button, and my 200 meter megawatt would probably just flatten out.
So that would be sad, wouldn't it? So let's not go there.
You know what? We would start our own pirate radio station. I would call you back, and then we would Facebook Live it, and then we would use hashtags to create a movement. And just like the EpiPen has now reduced its price on their generic, which is the same product but a different thing, we will take back the airwaves. Fear not.
Oh, has it really? I didn't hear that. What did it reduce to?
So it was reduced. So here's the thing. They didn't reduce the main price, but they released their own generic of the exact same thing for $300. Uh-huh.
Do you know how much it is in Australia?
No.
2 pence for $37.
Oh my God! Why don't we start an EpiPen tribe? Seriously.
We can do that. Now, back to the topic
at
hand.
Okay, okay, okay. So let's not be debunked yet. And ladies and gentlemen, you are in the middle of a Google fight. And we are fighting the definition that is not out there about whether or not crowdfunding platforms like Indiegogo and Kickstarter are actually themselves social media platforms. Now, let's go back to the Google and let's just ask Google straight up, like, ding, 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 next round has started.
Okay.
Is Indiegogo a social media platform? And just to be fair, we only have one Googler, because otherwise that would be too many O's in the Google.
No, it's not. I told you that.
It doesn't.
Indiegogo talks about all of the other social media.
No, but Google. But did you Google, is Indiegogo a social media platform?
Yes, I did. Would you like me to send you a screenshot of my computer?
Maybe tomorrow, because that would be way too much evidence up front. Okay, maybe we should ask Bing. Ooh.
You go and ask Bing.
Here's the thing. I believe that I'm going to stand behind DJ Shay on this one. And I'm going to, out there for the record, say that based on the definition and my intuition and the gut instinct of one of KUCI's best and brightest upcoming DJs, social media platforms would include crowdfunding platforms.
Well, by that definition, I would agree with you.
Okay, good.
I think you're right, Shay.
Good. See, you know what? When you want to be proved right, just make the definition general enough so that people can't argue or so that you can argue back. Okay, so you've got your pre-launch in action. Dustin says that it takes way too much time. I mean, a lot of time, and you have to have at least 2 to 3 months of planning for an Indiegogo platform to be successful for you. And you've got to know who your market is. You've got to have a game plan. You've got to be flexible. You've got to be agile. And what are you doing outside of Indiegogo? Because now that we've established, thanks to DJ Shay, that Indiegogo is a social media platform itself. I think the more you say things, they feel true. So all of these other social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatnot, let's get a little bit of tribal knowledge from you on some of these other platforms that are supporting. So first off, what other platforms are you on?
We're on every platform.
There are over 275.
Okay, our main platform.
Wait, no,
for,
I'm...
To be honest, for our market, for our target market, the big platform to be on is Instagram, and also Pinterest, funnily enough, for the market that we target. So we're just starting a bit of Pinterest now, but we've been working with Instagram and Twitter primarily, because a lot of people who are already into organic living and active life, and I guess our first target market who we don't have to completely convert to organic product and who are pretty well versed on what they should and shouldn't be doing with their bodies, are very active on Twitter and are very active on Instagram. So that's where we've been focusing our efforts in terms of influencers, in terms of fans, over the last few weeks, and also Facebook. As I say, Pinterest is the next way to go as well.
Okay, so we haven't talked much about Pinterest, so I want you to GTO Pinterest. Is it some sort of fruit drink?
Maybe it should be. You know, I'm going to Google it. What is Pinterest?
Yes.
I'm not trusting my own intuition anymore. You've made me feel all nervous. No. You haven't really let me find out.
You know what?
Pinterest is a social network.
Yes. Good.
No definition.
Just like, does it say just like Indiegogo?
Just like Indiegogo, parenthesis, okay, that allows users to visually share and discover new interests by posting or pinning images or videos to their own or others' boards and browsing what other users have pinned.
Ah, so pinning your
so
different
like
interests.
Cork board. Remember when you were a kid? Well, when I was a kid and we didn't have a cork board, just pinned stuff into the wall.
Yeah.
But then came cork boards and you had a cork board or whatever. I don't know what the American definition is. Well, maybe it's the same.
The American pronunciation is cork, not cork.
Cork. A cork board. And you pin stuff into it. I'm pretty sure that's where the inspiration from Pinterest came from. It's like, let's get a cork board that everyone can see.
Okay, and so your desktop becomes a cork board.
Oh, look, they call it a pin board.
Oh, pin board. That sounds very British. Put this picture up on my pin board, please.
Let's make up a new name. I'm not very funny, so you do it.
Pin board. We could totally go to market with the pin board tribe.
It's got to be something with a T, doesn't it? You need a little alliteration. You've got to go all to the wall, you know.
Yeah. Well, are we trying to come up with a competitive social media site to Pinterest, or are we just trying to come up with a new name for Pinterest?
Well, apparently, hold on a second, I'm going to segue. There are other bookmarking sites that I'm not even aware of.
See?
Such as Dig and StumbleUpon. What's Dig and StumbleUpon?
You don't know about Dig or StumbleUpon?
No, so tell me about it. Okay. You don't either. Don't Google it.
I was just going to tell you to Google it. No, but yeah, Dustin, are you familiar with Dig or StumbleUpon? I know about StumbleUpon, but not as much Dig.
I'm not familiar with Dig, but I do know StumbleUpon. It came out a while ago, but it's pretty cool. I guess it's
where you stumble upon stuff, huh?
Yeah.
So basically, you pick your interests. They've got like sports, entrepreneurship, I believe is one, business, fashion, and then you click the little stumble button, and basically it surfs the web for things that are aligned with your interests. So, it's kind of a great waste of time.
Wait, say that again?
it's pretty much one of the best wastes of time.
It's a great
on the
waste.
Internet,
it's a great waste of time. Dig, do you hear that? You're a great waste of time. Hey, StumbleUpon, do you hear that?
Every social media platform you're a waste of time.
Yeah, you're a great waste of time.
How is Slack a work platform? It's called Slack by definition. I don't understand this at all.
Have you used Slack?
No.
Oh my gosh, Slack is almost only taking over the world.
I know, but it just means like all these people go to work to not work.
Well, you know what? If you're getting more done in less time, you can slack off more. Maybe that's where it comes from. DJ Shay, have you ever used Slack?
No.
DJ Shay, have you ever used Dig?
No.
DJ Shay, have you ever used StumbleUpon?
It's a great waste of time. Yeah.
Have you actually used StumbleUpon?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's hear from DJ Stay. What is StumbleUpon?
It's literally what its name is. It stumbles you upon something interesting on the internet. That's probably kind of a waste of time.
Oh, is
and
it?
You can keep flipping through things too pretty quickly. And you first put categories of interests that you have, and then it just puts random things in front of you.
There you go. It makes me think of the I'm feeling lucky button on our friend Google.
Yeah.
Right? Do you know about I'm feeling lucky on Google?
Yes, I haven't used it for a long time.
Yeah. That was like back when Coke boards were popular.
Well, it wasn't.
Good, we're fighting again.
I'm going to do it now. Okay. I'm going to do it while you guys.
This is an interesting point out there. You can be Australian and you can honestly believe that you're on all social media sites, and then by a simple Google search, you can find and uncover and stumble upon and dig around a little bit to find that there are many more that serve a similar social media purpose. And as we know, social media is a platform or application that connects and allows people to engage through content. Or it is Indiegogo. Okay, so this has been great because I didn't think that I would get in a fight with the Tampon Tribe, but sometimes when we fight, it brings us closer.
I'm getting distracted now because I keep pressing the I'm feeling lucky button.
Move away from the stupid box. Put the mouse down.
What mammal has the most teeth?
What mammal has the most teeth or feet?
Teeth.
I would say a great white shark, although it's probably not a mammal.
It's the giant armadillo.
How many teeth does it have?
Okay, I'm getting off this platform. Close. Window closed.
Window closed. Good. Now, that I know exactly what you're going to do when we hang up. And for all of you out there who really want to waste your time in a productive way, just go to Google and hit I'm Feeling Lucky or dig around on stumble.com. StumbleUpon.com.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not doing it now. Yeah,
no,
let's
no.
Get back on track. Yeah.
So here's an interesting point and takeaway for everyone. Everyone is listening and maybe they're laughing at us or they're just annoyed and they've already changed the station. But for those people that haven't, I'm not worried about you. Everybody else, the learning lesson here is that there are so many different social media platforms. But what you were talking about, Jennifer, is really identifying which ones have the audience that you want and then reverse engineering into that. Correct?
Correct.
So the question would be, should someone here at the university, the Study Abroad Center, should they be on StumbleUpon? Should somebody else be on Dig? And the question, DJ Shay's lifting her eyebrows like, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. So it really comes down to an exercise in your market. And your market is found on multiple platforms, because DJ Shay is on StumbleUpon, but she's not on Digg. So if you're not confused yet, you should be. And this show, Get Notified, is for people who love social media, want to get better, who hate social media, and for those people who are generally confused by it. And I think that at some point, we're all confused by it. Look at that. Yes. Silence, truth.
Agreed.
Let's make an analogy to make timely today. There was a recent death here in the world that is a sad death, because he brought happiness to so many people and continues to. Does anybody know who I'm talking about?
Yes, Buzz.
Who?
Are we in a game show? Are we in a game show?
Yes,
buzz in, like
yes,
a buzzer.
Yes, yes,
like
buzz.
A virtual buzzer.
Yes. And Jennifer.
Gene Wilder.
Yes. Gene Wilder. For those of you who don't know Gene Wilder, he is Willy Wonka. And to be honest, I think that the Wonka Chocolate Factory is also a social media platform. It allowed people to engage. It wasn't an app or technology, but he had some serious technology in the day. But how sad is that? But it's also inspiring. And one of my favorite memes in the history of the world forever is Gene Wilder, who has his cheeky little outfit and sort of a sassy little look. And it says, doing social media without a strategy? Question mark. Underneath him, it says, how's that going for you? And I really think that that's something that Willy Wonka would have said, chewing on an everlasting gobstopper. And to me, that's like the ultimate piece of advice, right? We're talking here about pre-launch. We're talking about Pinterest. We're talking about all kinds of crazy things and social media platforms. But at the end of the day, in honor of Willy Wonka himself, if you don't have a strategy, well, imagine him looking at you with a cane and his top hat crooked, one eyebrow up over the other, and simply snaring at you with eyeballs that say, how's that working out for you? So, yeah, any comments randomly here about Willy Wonka and how he ties into social media? Dustin, you're up.
It's interesting. He didn't have a platform or anything in the Willy Wonka factory, but
you know, I have a feeling...
He did have a lot of Oompa Loompas.
I was going to say, I bet you Oompa Loompas would crush it online. I bet you they would just...
like Oompa Loompas.
Yeah. I wonder if we could start a new social media platform that is Oompa Loompa-based, and it could connect people about, I don't know, creating...
What if we had I think you're getting yourself into a whole world of...
Well, that's why I have you. That's why I have you to save me. This is like training for the next Google fight.
This is like litigation central. I'm out.
I got a company to run.
All right, so maybe that didn't go very far about connecting the dots with Oompa Loompas, social media, Gene Wilder, and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. But I'm going to work on that. I'm going to train while I'm going to do mental sit-ups. I'm going to go to the dojo. And mark my words, I will start a revolution online that has to do with Willy Wonka, Oompa Loompas, and tampons.
All right.
And I just
I'm onto that.
I need your support.
I think we should take that. Can we, like, I think maybe it's the Oompa Loompa part that I'm a bit concerned about. I think maybe we should just remove that, and we could just stick with the Chocolate Factory and some PC characters.
Okay, that's good. You're right. PC is good, especially these days.
PC is good. PC is good. Yeah.
So let's get back to reality, and let's talk about what you're doing here to promote in the final stages of your launch. And you guys have a run coming up. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So we're doing we've got a few events actually planned on the calendar. So we have a run coming up on September 24, but our most important launch date is September 14. So it's a great time to get involved. You can sign up on tampontribe.com to be part of all of our newsletters and mailing lists, or shoot me an email. If you have any questions, I'm losing my capacity to speak. We'll keep you up to date with all the events that we're having planned in the next couple of months.
Very cool. Now, you said email you, but what is your email?
The best email is, let's go for the info email. Infos are always easy to remember, right?
Yes.
Info, spelled INFO, at tampontribe.com. That's it.
See, it's easy to remember but hard to spell, so thank you for spelling that out. That was great.
Well, you know, this is the day of Google. People aren't spelling's not all that.
Yeah, and I get in trouble. I get in trouble for spelling all the time. Here's a question: how important is spelling on social media?
Very important, because several you see a little red thing underneath it if you get it wrong. So if you can't fix it, then there's something wrong with you.
Okay, good. Now, Jennifer, as we have a couple minutes here left, tell us about your opinion of the dojo and whether or not other people should check out the dojo. Because if I asked Dustin, it would be self-promotional and he'd toot his own horn. But I'm curious, how is that working out for you? And is it a good support center for other entrepreneurs or other people who are wanting to learn about how to run successful campaigns and just sort of if they have some crazy business idea to go check out?
Yeah, I mean, I think Expert Dojo is great in the terms that we've got so far away from being part of communities in this, I guess, modern age. And there's a huge drive now for everyone to get back to being part of a really collaborative environment. And that's definitely what Expect Dojo offers, you know, somewhere where you've got people all around you who are kind of striving for similar things and who can also help each other out. And for me and for many entrepreneurs, you know, we spend a lot of time by ourselves, actually. You know, you're behind your computer or in your home office, you're in a little desk somewhere in a coffee shop. But you soon come to realize that you miss that human interaction and also that human support and encouragement. So for me, Expert Dojo was amazing and continues to be when it comes to that, not just for the professional advice and everything that goes without saying, but also for that very human element where you actually feel like you're part of something, you're part of a team, rather than being by yourself with one or two founders. And for me and for Tampon Tribe, that's really invaluable.
Well said. What do you think, Dustin?
Oh, yeah. Expert Dojo is great.
That's it. No,
you
can't talk anymore. We're not going to lie to you. Whether it's online.
On a completely different note, OompaLoompa.com is currently up for sale.
Oh my goodness gracious. I am very excited.
If anybody on the radio show wants to go in on it with me, you can find me at Dustin@expertdojo.com.
Hey, did you just drop me as a founder? Did you just drop me as a founder? What happened? It's like if they want to join you and me.
Us.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody is on the show right now since we all came up.
Okay, Jennifer, we want to hire you on as our PC consultant. And then
you'll be publishing nothing.
And then DJ Shea will be our millennial voice.
Are we going to make $10 million?
No, we are going to make $30 billion.
I mean.
Hey, well, what a fun show, and I think that it's just a nice recap of what people can expect with the Tampon Tribe. You're not taking yourself too seriously. You're solving some serious problems. You do seem like you're more PC than the average bear, and you do know how to Google. You're open to feedback. You're agile. It sounds like you're talking with people, and you're helping men in the office become more popular by getting them to order tampons to support to the office. So,
and that's the most important aspect of my business, to be honest.
Yeah, so men out there, if you think Tampon Tribe is not for you, you are wrong. Okay, well, what is exciting here is that we have amazing programming at KUCI. Stick around for some more great talks with Claudia on Ask a Leader. She always has amazing people. Give it up for DJ Shea, her first time here. Yay, I'm the only one doing it. She's laughing. She seems uncomfortable, but you did a great job. And pretend like I'm starting a vinyl, and this is technically a calling back to back announcing right now about the show, and then we'll do an EPA test as a sample out there. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to call your grandma. This is Ryan with Get Notified. Check us out tomorrow. We have Amir. We're going to talk about how accounting fits in with social media, and we're going to draw an analogy towards it. Don't go by OompaLoompa.com because I'm going to do that right after this. Dustin,
that is not available.
It is. It's not. It is. It's not because I just bought it, right? All right. Well, hey guys, thank you so much. Sorry for dropping in the call. Stick around. I'm gonna throw in some music here, and we'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ryan, DJ Ginger MC at Get Notified.